We'll have our monthly song service tonight, and you might see our Mr. Norman, who visits with us some. I don't know if you've ever noticed that a lot of times he comes on our singing nights. I don't know if you knew who I'm talking about. He's the elderly gentleman that visits some. He owns Norman's Furniture. He normally goes to West Fayetteville. And I think what happened was a while back, he just happened to visit because of the weather or some reason he was here and came on a singing night. Well, then he's come back several times, and I just happened to see him recently, and he was telling some other people. He said, "You have never heard singing like these folks do. For a small church, they sing so good." So I just wanted to pass that along. I agree, and I thought those were good songs that Jack picked out, and you guys did a good job singing them, and I appreciate that. Even we may not be a large congregation by the world standards, but I think we sing pretty. So that's encouraging to me, and thank you for participating in worship this morning. Of course, what matters to God is if our spirit and truth, if our hearts and minds are engaged, and that's more important than any musical part of it. But it's a blessing when it sounds good too. So today we'll be thinking about this expression, "Don't look back." Can you think of somebody in the Bible who was told, "Do not look back"? I've heard of, I don't know that I've seen it with my own two eyes, but I've heard of congregations that have a sign under the clock at the back that says, "Remember Lot's wife." That'd probably be a good thing to stick under the sign, under the clock back there. But remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. That Lot was Lot's wife. Lot and his wife were warned, "Don't look back." But of course she did. And she was turned into a pillar of salt as a result. Can you think of somewhere else where people were told, "Do not look back"? Well, we'll be looking at a teaching of Jesus in Luke chapter 9 where he says those very things. Do not look back. So turn with me to Luke chapter 9. This one particular slide is just going to stay there like that through the whole thing. We'll be in two main passages today, Luke 9, and then we'll compare that with Paul's example in Philippians chapter 2. Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus said, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." So Jesus is saying, in a way there, right, not in so many words, but don't look back. Once you put your hand to the plow, don't look back. So what I want to do this morning is look at the context of this statement and what does Jesus mean by it and some lessons we can take away from that, and we'll compare that to some things that Paul said as a good example of how to keep our focus forward and not be looking back. So in the context of this, what is Jesus talking about and who is he talking to and what's he speaking about? Let's back up to verse 57. Jesus is gaining followers as he goes, and there's people who want to come follow him. And he wants to make sure they understand the commitment of that. Verse 57, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Now, we would think this is a good thing, right? And it is a good thing. It's always a good thing when someone wants to follow Jesus. But Jesus wants this person to understand the kind of thing that he's committing and signing up for. He wants him to know what he's getting involved in, what exactly he's signing up for. And so Jesus says in verse 58, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." It seems to me the point is, are you sure you understand what you're saying when you say, "I will follow you wherever you go"? Well, look at where I'm going and how I'm going is what Jesus appears to be saying. It's not an easy life. It's not a life of luxury. In fact, Jesus was, for all intents and purposes, homeless. It seemed to me he just walked from place to place and accepted hospitality from people who would offer it to him, and he would stay where he could. And it seems to me even that sometimes they just slept out in the open. And yet this man is saying, "I'll follow you." And I think Jesus is saying, "Are you sure you understand what you're saying? You want to follow me? That look at this life that I'm living. This is the way you want to live?" And so for us today, of course, becoming a Christian doesn't mean becoming homeless necessarily. But we should understand that when we say, "I want to follow Jesus," that may mean that we make certain sacrifices. That may be required. It may not be that we have all of the luxuries of life. Some of those things may be as a direct result of our commitment to follow the Lord. There may be financial things. There may be comforts. There may be things that we would enjoy that could be there, but because of our following the Lord, we're going to pass up on that for one reason or another. Maybe because we can't in good conscience engage in that. Maybe because we don't, we get passed over for a promotion, or we don't get an opportunity, or we even get fired for having taken a stand on our faith, on our commitments. And I can't go along with that. I don't feel right about that. Well, then fine, then you're out. What if it came to that? Would we be willing to pay a price financially? Would we be willing to make a whole lot less money than we could have otherwise? Would we be willing to suffer in some physical way? Are we really that committed? I think sometimes people think, well, I'm trying to decide. I know I want to be a Christian. I know I need to do that. And what their level of thought of the commitment that they're discussing or thinking about in their mind is, can I really commit to going to church on Sundays? Like that's the thing, right? It's like I'm doing just fine. I'm living a good life. And really what I'm debating about is that something I can fit in? Is that something that I can, you know, make a commitment to do? But I think what Jesus is saying here is being a follower of Christ is so much bigger than 1 hour, 2 hours a week, however much it would add up to. It's a life. It's a way of life. And it's a way of life that might be difficult at times. Are you really sure you're ready to make that commitment? I think that's what he's challenging this man with. Verse 59, to another he said, follow me. So this time Jesus initiates the call. But he replied, Lord, let me first go and bury my father.